Let's open with hymn number 58.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our health is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Thee, unto the Lord.
Thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment.
But I am heartily sorry for them,
and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who did suffer thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become man, and to come into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil, deliver us poor offenders from sin and death, and give us everlasting life. We beseech thee so to rule and govern our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may seek no other refuge than his word, and thus avoid all offense to which by nature we are inclined, in order that we may always be found among the faithful followers of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in him obtain eternal salvation, through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday in Advent is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 8th verse. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 5th verse. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then one's praise will come from God. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Stir up thy strength and come. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stir up thy strength and come and save us. Hallelujah.
The gospel lesson is found in the 11th chapter of Matthew, the 2nd through the 10th verse. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you see and hear. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? a reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 298. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is the gospel lesson found in Matthew 11, verses 2 through 10. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things which you see and hear. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the prophets and the apostles have prepared the way for thy Son, Jesus Christ. Let us hear his word and receive him today as thy people has by faith. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, tell a man what he wants to hear and he will likely be your friend. But you are an even better friend when you tell the truth, especially when it is bad news. Does a man who goes to a physician have the right to be angry with the doctor if he tells him that he has cancer? Would it be better to lie or to offer one diagnosis after another and evade the truth? Of course not. Because if you do not know the disease, how can you get the right kind of medicine to cure it? The prophets of God are very much physicians. They are here to tell men what they do not want to hear, that they are sick and that they will die unless they receive the cure. But if a prophet were instead to wander around, offering one platitude after another and always missing the mark and never pointing a man at the source of his trouble, he will probably be a very successful prophet by human standards, and yet his hearers will be dying, and he will offer them no cure. John the Baptist was a faithful prophet who offered the right diagnosis and the right cure. The disease was sin, and the cure was Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Some were angered when John preached the truth, calling proud, self-righteous men a generation of vipers. But John was no reed swaying in the wind, blowing back and forth with every human opinion like too many preachers both then and now. He had something which too few preachers have. Certainty. Absolute certainty about his life's work to prepare the world to receive Christ. And absolute certainty concerning whom Christ is. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Mary, and Son of God. God had confirmed this truth to John in person, speaking with a voice from heaven, causing his spirit to light upon Jesus in the form of a dove. There could be no doubt as to who Jesus was. John made it plain, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So long as this truth is steadfastly declared, doubt flees. For doubt is of the darkness. It cannot remain where God's light shines unless one is to flee from that light and insist on remaining in darkness. What is doubt and where does it come from? It comes from the natural inclination of the heart to reject any truth which we do not like, any truth which is inconvenient. A man does not want to believe himself helpless, for that would mean he's just a slave to his passions, little better than an animal in distress. No, a man would rather think that he is in charge of his own destiny. Because then he can pretend to be free. He can take credit for what good comes his way. But in the time of trouble, when a man endures sufferings that he cannot control, that illusion is shattered. To think rather that God alone sets the course of men's lives and determines their success and their trouble is a hateful thought. It doesn't matter that it is true, but only that it takes away from man that which he most desires, to have power over his own life in all things. This desire to deny reality, to live in a lie, is a manifestation of the sin which rules every man's entire nature. It also exists in the heart of every believer. In the time of trouble, we know that God is still God, that His will always be carried out, even when men oppose it. Nevertheless, because of what we are, no matter how faithful we may be, in the hour of trial, our heart rises up, grabbing the present circumstance as an excuse to believe that God has not been faithful and not kept His word. He has allowed this trouble to come upon me when He promised to protect me and keep me from evil. He has lied or He has failed. It really is up to me and to me alone. God cannot help me and never could. Not so, says the witness of the Spirit of God within us. Let God be faithful and every man be false. In a time of distress, we especially need the witness of the Spirit, which still declares and affirms, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Spirit of God speaks through the Word, answering our sin, point for point, silencing the temptation of the devil and the passions of our heart. On every avenue where our nature would flee, every byway and detour which we might take to evade the truth, to claim that God has failed or that we are our own masters, we are met by the Spirit of Christ. For Jesus has already faced every doubt and has endured every trouble. When everything seems unhinged and all of God's plans seem a kilter, He remained faithful and overcame our sin upon the cross and brought life to all men. This life is ours not by virtue of our merit or our circumstance, but purely by His grace. In health and in sickness, whether we are free or in prison, there still is Jesus, meeting every need, giving us His righteousness and confirming in us His grace. This is the witness of God's Spirit. Let us hide this word in our heart, that we might remember it in the day of trouble and remain faithful to Him who has redeemed us at great cost to Himself. Even the most faithful Christian cannot endure without hearing the blessed assurance of the gospel of Jesus. Even though we already well know what Christ has done, and that we truly do not doubt it, but believe, nevertheless, our sinful mind always will goad us toward unbelief. Therefore, even the most faithful Christian needs the witness of the Spirit to silence the scoffer within him. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever to be born, save for Christ Himself. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb of His mother, and moved by the Spirit, He prepared the way for the Lord's Christ. He preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and He performed the work of God faithfully. He did not let a single word of God fall to the ground. Where there was sin, He boldly proclaimed the wrath of God against the sinner. And where the sinner repented, He gave them the blessed assurance of baptism for the remission of sins, and pointed them to Jesus, the Lamb who takes away their sin. And faithfully doing all that God had commanded, John then experienced the truth of his own words, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John was put in prison through no fault of his own. He was imprisoned for being faithful, for being no respecter of persons, but calling kings to repentance as well as paupers. He did not hesitate to condemn Herod Antipas for taking to wife the wife of his half-brother. For this, John was arrested. Mercifully, his disciples could still come and visit him and bring news of what is happening in Israel. John's disciples were fiercely dedicated to him, almost too much. So much so that they could not understand the greater mission and person of Jesus, even though John plainly preached him. To find their master in prison was distressing. If John should die, their hopes would die with him. These men needed the comfort that all was as God would have it be. They needed the gospel which can cast away all their doubts, so that they might learn to put their faith not in the preacher John, but in the one whom John preached, Jesus Christ. And what then of John himself? What must he be thinking as he endured suffering for being faithful? He could no longer see with his own eyes the fulfillment of his own preaching. Some messenger he would make while he was in prison. Indeed, as each day went by, it seemed certain that he would die before he saw the fulfillment of the promises of Christ, a fulfillment in which he served a key role foretold in the Scriptures. Imagine how Satan must have plagued him. Is the question of John then proof that he came to doubt that Jesus was the Christ? Had he lost the faith? Not at all. He experienced no more than any Christian endures. It is certain that John was plagued no less than any Christian with the objections and denials of a sinful heart, objections that God's word perfectly answers. Though he was the second greatest prophet of all, he was no less a sinner than any man. He himself confessed this as he pointed to Jesus and said, "This is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." He needed Jesus the Savior. He needed to hear the gospel preached, just like we do. And therefore it is no surprise that John would send his disciples to Jesus, giving them a question. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? This was not a question of doubt, but of faith. It was a man in distress saying, "Tell me again of your person, your work, and your grace. I know it. But tell me again, for I want to hear it." It was the comfort of the gospel of peace that John desired to hear again. And therefore he went to the source and sent his disciples to Jesus. Why didn't John just simply ask them to hear the gospel? Why did he put it in the form of a question about Jesus himself, as if John was not sure of the answer when he certainly was? Well, that is plain enough from the kind of disciples that John had. This was a very real question in their hearts. Is Jesus really the Lord's anointed? If so, then why is his herald in prison? As a teacher, John knew that the best way to teach was often to ask a question when you already knew the answer. How doubly gratifying it would be for John to have his dear disciples hear this from the mouth of the Master, Jesus, and to hear the answer from them by which he himself could take comfort. Let no Christian think himself so strong that he does not desperately need to hear the gospel of peace. There was no stronger faith to be found in Israel than John's faith, and yet he sought comfort in the word of Jesus. Through this word, we too are repeatedly assured of the mercy of our God. In trouble and even in death, he is still our Lord, carrying out his purpose, turning darkness to light and trouble to joy, even as he has taken away our sins and replaced it with the righteousness of Jesus. In sickness and trouble, the eyes of the blind are still open to their sin. Their ears are open to hear the word of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the waters of baptism, they who were dead are raised up and given new life. The poor in spirit are comforted, and they learn that in Christ Jesus they are rich. With such words, the disciples of John were comforted, and they carried this comfort back to John. Did the words of Jesus set John free from prison? No. Because as John no doubt suspected, he was executed. That was his earthly reward. Once more, by human standards, God's messengers are failures, even as Jesus himself is a failure and an offense to men. He is an offense because his kingdom and glory does not come in grand ways, but through suffering and death. And as Christians do not find their true success in wealth and power, or in anything that men might offer, even if it be the favor of kings. We can be killed and persecuted all the day long, and often we are. And yet we are not failures. We are blessed, for we are not offended in Jesus. We are not offended by his lowly form or his sacrifice. For he is the Lamb ordained from the foundation of the world to be slain for our sins. How can there be any offense when God is doing exactly what he promised and showing us such great love? Here is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Here all doubt is cast away. For this is he that should come, the one promised since the beginning. And he has done what the Father sent him to do. In all our trouble, he is our peace. For he shows to us his finished work of salvation. He opens our eyes and unplugs our ears and gives us the life of heaven itself. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O God, thou shepherd of Israel, who didst lead Israel like a flock, nourishing and sustaining thy people in the hope of deliverance by the word of thy prophets, and who in the fullness of time didst raise up a horn of salvation in the house of David, even thy Son Jesus Christ, grant unto us such a vivid faith in thy promises that we may rejoice and give thanks evermore. Now, O Father, we bring thee our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. As we have need, send deliverance to renew us in body and soul. Forgive our sins and blot out all our iniquities. Open the eyes of the spiritually blind. If any walk uncertainly, guide him in the pathways of righteousness. If any be impure in thought, word, or deed, cleanse him by thy Spirit. If any be deaf to thy Spirit, open his ears to thy truth, that hearing he may believe and be saved. And if he be dead to thee in his spirit,
quicken him by thy mighty power. Let thy Holy Spirit descend upon us, that our faith may persevere until our Lord will come again to judge all mankind. We pray for thy church everywhere in the world. Grant thy blessing to all thy servants who proclaim thy word to the multitudes. Give aid and strength to all missionaries, and accompany thy word with power, that all may know thee to be the only true God and Savior of men. Rule over the hearts of all men, guide the decisions of those in authority, and sit in the secret councils of nations, to the end that peace and justice may prevail. Help all men to know and believe the doctrine of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that they may learn to please thee in true faith. Bless all who are gathered this day in the fellowship of the Spirit, especially those here in this place. Be with those of our number who are sick or under any affliction of body, mind, or spirit. Comfort them that they may, through their trials, learn of thy gracious power and readiness to help in every time of need. Endow us all with grace, that we may daily show forth the light of thy name and the glorious gospel of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. All these things and whatever else we need, we beseech thee in his name. Amen. We sing hymn number 69. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he cometh again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
partake and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 52.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you.